Hi, I'm Marlo Higgins, and I spent nearly four decades as an entrepreneur building systems that maximize time and results. I'm a business coach that helps entrepreneurs get crystal clear on what it takes to make their vision a reality. I'm obsessed with clarity because business operations that are rooted in clarity are exponentially more likely to succeed. So join me as I explore the proven habits and strategies that have helped myself and hundreds of other entrepreneurs create a vision, execute a plan, and refine a legacy of success. This is 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. Welcome back to this episode of 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. So we're visiting with our friend Matthias, and I know that you're going to hear his accent, which will completely help everybody understand as they're listening to this episode, just the power that you bring. You're the CEO and a co-founder of Venture Miner, and you're a manager, a teacher. You have over 10 years experience in innovation, artificial intelligence, and blockchain. And these are some hot topics for entrepreneurs today in business. This is why we have you as a guest. So welcome to this episode today.
Thanks a lot, Marlo, for having me in. I'm loving your style, loving all your energy. This is making my day much better already.
Excellent. Well, that's, hey, we aim to serve the entrepreneurial world. And, you know, who couldn't use some good energy now and then, right? And all that is happening in our world, in business, all these things, in technology, we just need to see the light. We need to feel the energy every once in a while, right?
That's totally true. Because like when we are developers, we think that it's only our minds working, only our technical skills and all. But actually, everything that we do is an expression of our heart, of how organized we are feeling, how stressed we are. And when you have a good piece of mind, body, spirit all together, you get to produce much better than just, I'm a technical person and I don't care about my feelings and all.
Yeah. So you are one of our global partners who you're a technical founder, you operate boot camps. And one of the important things, as you've stated before, as we've gotten to know each other, that, you know, selecting the right people to do the technical work. So you're hosting these boot camps, you're bringing people, students of the trade, into that space. But talk to us about what it is that you're looking for in that space when you're helping and assisting other young people into this.
Oh, great topic. There is a big problem nowadays on how we train technical people for many industries, and how school, how university is failing us, the pace of information. Most of the people that work with me, my company, they didn't even finish a computer science degree. They dropped because they start learning in the real world, into the projects they are building. They start to learn more updated information than they are learning in the university. It's happened a lot. And especially now with the arrival of AI and AI agents and all possibly taking many jobs. Let's see how this is going to play out, right? But possibly that's going to be a threat in the near future. And we need to prepare. And we need to organize our society, organize our future labor force, so that they can be productive, so that they can have a space in the labor market, right? And the thing that we have learning in our past experience, these 10 years that I have in many positions, like managing teams, being first a squad leader and then CTO and then manager and then having my own company, is that the coordination between soft skills and hard skills are the best, most crucial part for having a good pace of work, a good efficiency when building software, especially for edge technologies like Web3, blockchain, AI. A lot of companies, they have a lot of hurry to hire. They need to hire a lot of people quickly, and they end up selecting by the hard skills. Okay, I get that. The problem is that much probably, in statistically speaking, you are going to have people that don't work well together, or they are not a cultural fit, or they are not good oriented for that job or for that role. So I consider myself lucky to be able to train people from scratch, to select people by soft skills, with patience, with good time to learn. And then eventually I get teams that they can work very well together, that they know how to express themselves, that they can be trustworthy. And eventually they pick up the hard skills. The hard skills are actually the easiest path to give a person. The other way around is much, much more difficult.
It is. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, the technical space, you know, it takes a different mindset. But the change I want to make in the world. I know that was a really strong statement. When you're going to market, changing what I want to make in the world. Part of that is connecting to the people component. And I know you and I had a really rich conversation about bringing people in that are good communicators, soft skills, very specific talents, and have vision for the academics, but bring it together in a way that it matches the innovation, the technology, but to also being a good human. Share with us why that is so important for you.
Yeah, it's a very personal take of mine because I think a lot on the legacy that I'm going to give my kids. I think a lot on the legacy that my father has given us, is given today. Now I have two kids at home. I have more in the future. And I think on this, that I see a lot of people giving a legacy of financial stability. And that's great. Like, God bless it to be able to have that. But that's of the least of importance when you think on make an impact for the future, speaking about technology, making technology that make the lives of people better, and not just your shareholders profitable. Speaking about all the VC nonsense where people have been raising money, doesn't matter what you're doing, you're just raising money. So you raise a good seed round, so you raise a series A, and then you do a bigger series B, and your objective is all that, raising more and more, and where that ends. Sometimes you don't even have scalable revenue and all, and you just play this game forever. And a lot of people see entrepreneurship as something that you're going to have freedom, but actually they become a slave of their own game, having to raise more, having to be scalable, not sleeping, not to have a life and all. I do work a lot. I do work a lot of hours, and unfortunately, I have to give a lot of my family time for working. But I do that not for just having a flat bank account or a flat financial stability for my kids. I do that because I really believe on having good people with me, being able to educate people. Like, I do a lot of free boot camps, free mentorship programs, and all, being able to give opportunities for people that wouldn't have. Like, we have 50% female presence in our company. We are an IT company. This is very different from market, and we don't do that with affirmative actions. No. Our selection process are completely fair and square. No affirmative actions, and now. And we do happen to have a 50% labor force in developers and architecture. So this is something that we can do because we invest in people, because we train people from scratch. We don't need to select only the people that completed a computer science course and all. And also we are trying to use AI and Web3 technology to scale this because we believe that this is going to be a possible solution. This is what the education system need, more people that can learn from each other, like the guilds that we used to have in the past. It's crazy how history is cyclical, right? And Very. We need to have more people to learn from each other, to learn in community, to learn peer-to-peer, to make the education go forward, and not that fixed squared model of one student, one teacher for hundreds of students in the academy. And sometimes the teacher doesn't even have experience in that field. A lot of IT teachers that never coded a project in their lives, and that happens in other industries as well. This is my personal take. It's very different from what you'll find out there in the books and
it is
influences speaking and all, but it's how I think.
Now, too, this is the thing that I just find so attractive in this conversation. You know, venture miner, what is the artificial intelligence problem that venture miner is created to serve? Like, I mean, there's obviously something there. So the technical space is a huge component of business today and in the future. But what is the problem that you're solving with venture miner?
Yeah, so we are very, very early stage, and we have a thesis that is quite different from what other people are doing. And what other people are doing is working, and we are swimming against the tide here, but let's see how it goes, because we are trying to pick the intersection between innovation in a venture studio, education in our academy, And the technology part, we do provide services for building technology. But instead of raising those big money from VCs and all, we are trying to do that bootstrapped with the students. The ideas of those hackathon projects, the ideas of those new students, diverse students from many different communities, not just the best students for that technology course. No, we onboard really literally everyone, and we have a lot of different point of views of the same technologies. So, for example, instead of having some GPT wrappers, there are lots, hundreds, if not thousands of companies like this raising crazy amount of valuations, we are looking for real cases, real world cases where AI can enhance the life of people. One of those cases, for example, education. We have one of these projects for having AI content. AI explanations of technical content for the students of my bootcamp to be able to access it like 24/7 in 54 languages or more. It's sort of a prototype. Like I said a few times, we're not VC backed. We don't have huge budgets to spend in those technologies, but open source can do wonders, can find those tools. And we know that eventually it is a slow game step by step, but eventually we're going to see the results of it. We're going to see if Venture Miner's model is indeed a good, fertile ground for having those new ventures, those new technologies being developed.
Well, you know, the reason why it's going to work is because you're people focused, right? I mean, there, right there is, you just really don't find that where it's, you know, such technical and, like you said, financial back, venture capital money. There's a lot that's going there, but you're very people focused. So what would you say is your superpower in this space?
A lot of VCs, they invest in projects, trying to invest in the people behind the projects, like even like pre-seed and seed. This is the folks, most of the accelerators and all they say that they advertise that and all, but actually they're not connected with the people. They just get to know the person in a pitch, or they get to know a person in a short program and all. My superpower is that I'm teaching those students, I'm mentoring, I'm participating with them, I'm eating pizza with them, sometimes I'm participating in travels with them, and then know them for months, sometimes for years. I know how they can learn, you know, how they can yield, how they can sustain stress, how they can keep pushing, or know if they just give up. These kind of things I can measure much closely. And my thesis is that, like I said, investing in people, it is going to pay out more than just a shallow evaluation in someone based on the pitch deck and based on a short presentation or a short iteration. If this plays out well, we have the technology part. We can deliver software with Web3 and AI. We have the education part. We can train people. And we just don't have the VC part yet. Let's see if that changes in the next month. Weeks, who knows?
Venture capital, you know, that's about the people in those relationships. You know, somebody who's listening to this right now could be out there saying, you know what, this is a company that I want to investigate and that I want to serve and give to because of your mission, the vision that you are creating for this, taking the technology, matching it to the grounding of humans and people, not making it this pie in the sky concept from an innovation standpoint, but really building a company of sustainability and people focus. So right there. Okay, so we want to get to know you a little bit better. And so we're going to do that because I've got a question that's going to be somewhat random, but I think this is going to help us understand who you are. So the question is, would you rather have every traffic light turn green or always have the best parking spot and why?
My answer is I would rather having the best parking spot because the traffic light eventually is going to get green. Just need to wait a bit. But the parking spot, you could need to wait a few hours for it to have that. And for example, personally, I have kids, and when we need to park away from the entrance or whatever, if it's raining and all, it causes too much more trouble than just wait a couple seconds, a few minutes in a red light.
Ooh, so what does that tell us about you?
I don't know. That's multi-layered question that has a lot of implications, right? Let me see if I can figure it out quickly here. This means that I can wait for the right opportunity, or that I can I invest more time, but don't know, Marlo, you help me here.
No, it does. It gives great insight because, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes with it. And to be given such choices, you know, to me, hitting every green light means that you're always fast forward and on the go. But it tells, as the listeners are hearing this, it's a form of patience. You know, your ability to say, hey, I would rather have that parking spot because I'm patient enough instead of having to hit every green light. There's just something there that tells us about it. So that's just kind of what we like to do. We want people to get to know our guests. And that's just a huge fundamental. So what do you find when you're working with people? Let's take that same question, that same analogy of like, you know, always having the perfect parking spot. What do you find when you're working with your team members? What do you see most of them going for? Wanting the green lights or wanting the perfect parking spot?
Well, whenever possible, we try to compose the teams the best as possible. But I acknowledge that I have a trend to find people that resonate with me, my style. And not only in the professional part, it just occurred to me that this explains a thing about my personality. I did wait 8 years to start dating with my wife. We met in early college, and
wow,
kept watching her profile for about 7 or 8 years until she was single, and then I sent her a message, and then we engaged and got married. And I guess I did this for everything possible in life, trying to find people that resonate in this with me, because opportunities, they come and go. If you too hastily apply yourself to something, let's jump in that project. No, let's jump in that opportunity. No, let's jump in that event. And you might be missing out so many things in the other part. And we just have a limited amount of days in our life. We just have a limited amount of seconds in each day. So if we jump to the first opportunity, always we might be missing so many things. It's always good to, for me, at least for me, it's always good to have some patience and evaluate your options. And when you find what you want, you stick to that. Don't let anything tear you down. Don't let anything take you out from this path because that's what you put in your head and you got to do it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Now, who would not want to partner with you? Right here, I think this is one of your greatest recruiting tools is sharing this podcast with people because, wow, I mean, just what you shared right there and that insight is staying on track. You know, just it's sustainability. It's your ability to not have these distractions and pivot. And, you know, all of those things can lead to greater overwhelm. What have you found in business in relation to staying on track or having the clarity of understanding where you're going? How important is that in business?
Yeah, this is something I learned a lot with my father. Like he has a small commas and he lives like his commas like month by month. So if he goes bad in sales for 2-3 months, he has to close. And he never closed. His business operated for more than 50 years. And we see a lot of advice there, like leverage yourself, raise out all of money, fail, and then try again, try fast. Now, okay, that can be a good strategy. But if you have a north, for me, my north has been always like your business needs to have revenue. If you're doing something that your clients don't want, you're doing something wrong. You could pivot there, but you need to pivot with a north. You need to converge to having a sustainable business and not just doing some financial arbitrage of raising bigger and bigger rounds just for the sake of raising. Again, we go in that subject. For me, that doesn't fit in my head. How those bigger corporations out there that we have, those big unicorns, mm-hmm. that most of them are not unicorns anymore.
Right?
How those bigger unicorns come to be without having sustainable revenues. And while there are a lot of people, hardworking people creating value, creating economy as it is, the base, they don't have access even to loans or to financial operations. This happens a lot here in Brazil. So for me, I'm very focused. I'm very oriented in having just a few strategic priorities let's have revenue, let's have a good exposition, let's have this amount of brand awareness, let's have this many projects delivered next quarter, and everything else is going to be picked sometime at their own priority. Instead of selecting my next 10 strategic priorities, whenever I have a consultant say this to me, I lose all of my interest in the meeting, because like I should have one priority, two at most side priority, and I focus on that. Everything else is going to be taken care of eventually. This is how I learned to do business, and this is how we have been operating Venture Mind in the last four to five years in the software development industry.
Well, that is why you're successful too, because you have that ability to sustain it. And I think you understand your calling. Don't you agree with that? I mean, you really understand what it is, what your true superpower is, and then how to align to it, and then just to keep that going. But here's a question around that, and we're coming into the close, but does it get boring?
No, this is the thing. I don't know if it's perfectionism, but I have a thing that whenever I do a job well done, I feel so much satisfaction. That when I cook at home and the food is delicious, I feel so much satisfaction. And one of the things that I have oriented my company is to having customer satisfaction. We measure this. We don't have a big portfolio, but in the 30 projects that we did so far, we have 98% of satisfaction measured average. Last year, we had 100% in 14 projects. So even if we're not becoming rich, even if I'm not getting good exposition or exponential growth or whatever, I get so much satisfaction for this personal satisfaction on having doing a good job. People attend to my trainings and they say, oh, finally I could take this project off from paper. Oh, dang, this gives me so much satisfaction on being able to deliver value. I know I'm not making money out of this, a big success, but it can't get boring. If you are feeling rewarded for doing this job, right?
Complete satisfaction. That's a thing. I mean, and here's the thing. Again, your richness and the depth of who you are at your soul with this business as a CEO, this is where you're growing exponentially where other people are not, because they're missing some of those key components and you've really learned how to do it. So in closing, where did you get the wisdom from?
Wisdom, but it's a super powerful word. Like I when you say wisdom, I resonate with the like Bible and what I read in the scriptures.
Yes,
and that's what I personally believe, that wisdom comes from God. And when you seek, like knock, and it shall be open. So when you seek, it is given for you. I guess this is how it's written as well. I don't know if you're meaning all the meanings of vision, but that's what comes to my head when you say these words.
Oh my gosh, that's powerful. Okay, so in closing, what is the final words of advice that you'd like to wrap this episode with? So our audience is really kind of walking away with those aha moments. I'll let you take the lead on that. What's your greatest piece of wisdom for our listeners?
Don't know. We live in crazy times, right? I guess now more than ever, we don't know what's going to be next month or next year in the story of humanity, everything happening. So I guess my positive note here is that no matter what they are saying out there in the news, in the media, and all, we still have people resonating, vibrating on something like this in the lack of a better word, that we just need to find ourselves out there. We just need to create some sort of connections, some sort of communities, some sort of network, and eventually we are going to overthrow. We just need to stick together, right? We just need to endure.
We do. We do. And the reason I like you, you bet on yourself. You reached out to us. You said, hey, this is something that I want to do. And we usually, and as I shared, as we've gotten to know each other, that's not a normal way that we work with people. But there was something quite fascinating about you. And so I think the message is very loud. I think the energy is very high. And I think that's why this episode's going to be so successful, is because people are going to want to know more about who you are, some of the concepts that you bring into the world and the peace that you have around it, because being an entrepreneur is not easy. What you're doing is not easy, but yet you bring such joy and energy around what you're doing that you can't help but want to learn more. So thank you for that. What a gift. I mean, that today is such a resonating message. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. So I'm just going to go in closing now. I mean, you have just been, you know, show notes, Venture Miner, everything, all the details are going to be in that space. And so thank you for being our guest today. I really, really appreciate you.
Thank you very much. That's a great opportunity.
Did you enjoy this topic as much as I did? If you're looking for more insights like these or have a question you'd like to hear about on future episodes, text me at 319-250-2682 or click the link in the show notes. Remember, the road to success is better with friends. Be sure to share this episode to reach your goals together. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep your path clear and your energy high.